Hello there, and you're very welcome to Terrace Talk. Wishy Fogarty with you until 8 o'clock tonight. And my special guest tonight is Tom O'Riordan, the great Irish and Perth and Kerry Olympian, ran in the Olympics in Tokyo in 1964. This is a pre-recorded program, so there won't be any phone calls tonight. And the first thing I asked Tom O'Riordan, one of our greatest ever athletes, was, what did it feel like to get the Hall of Fame from the local club here in Kerry?
Well, I suppose, you know, the thing about it is, like, is that it's a great feeling in many ways, in the sense that, you know, whatever you have done and you go through life and you go through your career and you look back and you reflect and then you suddenly retire and you kind of forget about it, and suddenly, like, an award come up like this, wishy, and you know, it's a fantastic feeling, particularly, like, to come down to Kerry and get it amongst your own people, where I have such a strong affiliation and such a great love for, really. And I've always been very happy with the support I've got from Kerry people in my career, going way back, like, to the early 60s and the 50s, of course, and the 60s and all that. And to get this award coming down here tonight, and I'm extremely thrilled. And actually, I must say, I was kind of a few butterflies in my stomach coming down to get the award, in the sense that, you know, you wouldn't get them when you're going to a major race. And I suppose it's coming back and meeting all faces and seeing all people, and particularly in Castle Island, where they have such strong affiliation with. So, you know, I feel a great sense of, I suppose, it's a kind of a tribute to what you have done, and tribute to what you have done is what it's all about.
Tom, you were born in Arfurt in 1937. How many were in the family, and was there sport or athletics in the background?
Yes, I was born in Tubbert, in a mile up the road from Arfurt, in front of the railway station in Tubbert, where every year they brought, local farmers came with lovely loads of beet, and we used to go up and down to the station to see the train. And I used to often, when I was very young, used to get my 1 and 6 and go to the stall races. And yes, we had a large family. We had a smallish farm. There was 7 of us in the family. 2 died, and you know, I grew up on the farm. And I suppose, you know, times were tough in the 50s, and I went to Tubbert School. And my father, I remember one day, said to me, he says, "You have a choice to make. Do you want to go to Tralee CBS, or do you want to stay on the farm?" And it wasn't, I mean, to me, like, it was kind of a decision that I never had to make, in the sense that I was always wanted to go to Tralee, because I wanted to play football, and I wanted to kind of, I suppose, everybody said to me, like, you know, you have to try and make life a bit better for yourself. And I didn't see that much in prospects in the farm. Maybe if I'd seen 50 years down the road, I might have changed my mind, but at that time it was the thing to do. And I remember I had great friends, another friend of mine around that area, who was much smarter than me in school, and we both did the entrance exam. He failed and I passed. And, you know, it was kind of, it was a big step, you know, at that time, you know, wishy, in the sense that, you know, we lived out in a rural area, and going into 3CBS, which had a bit of a reputation as a kind of a, you know, good football school. And so it was, that particular decision was a big decision and a great decision, and I made the right decision. I'd never, no matter what, you know, have any regrets about it.
And you went to Tralee CBS then, Tom, and I would imagine that hurling and football was dominating your life there. Talk to me about your young hurling and football days.
Yeah, I went into first year in Tralee CBS, and, you know, wishy, and I was in 1B, and I remember we picked a team. We used to have inter schools, as 1A versus 1B, and for some extraordinary reason, they put me in goal, which is, you know, wishy, like, putting goal was the kind of the little bit of step down, you know, but I remember playing in goals, and I remember it was pure accident. I made a couple of unbelievable saves. Everybody was talking about the great goalkeeper I was, you know. I wanted to be anything but a good goalkeeper. But, you know, and what I loved about it really was, like, when it came to half two and the wins, and used to be football, and you'd jump out of the class, you know, and you'd tear down the stairs and you'd get into the gear and out, and it was the most unbelievable feeling, like, to just have football alone, like, as part of that time. It was an hour every week, that's all it was, but it was like, it was the most precious hour of your whole life.
And who were your teammates and your schoolmates, Tom, then?
Well, you know, there was Mick Laid, who played, of course, for Galway in the 1959 All-Ireland Final, and Francis Tieran, who played for London, and we had a lot of good footballers. Brian Sheehy was, I suppose, and then slightly ahead of us, like, there was Niall Sheehy was a few years ahead of us, but, you know, the teams used to be, I mean, it's very hard to explain it, like, you were very raw, you were very kind of, there was a very unsuspecting future in the sense that, you know, you live for every day and you came in and you had your class. And I mean, the Christian Brothers, it wasn't an easy life, you know. Funny, I always had a great kind of camaraderie with the Christian Brothers, and I always, for some extraordinary reason, always sat in the back of the class with a fellow from Gabby Dorney, Brendan Bosnan, who was an outstanding hurler. And I always kind of depended on him. I used him as a kind of a, you know, as a kind of a crutch in many ways, you know, to bring me along. And it coming home on the bus in the evening, it was something unbelievably special coming out on the bus to Alfred and walking up in the evening, like at 4 or 5 o'clock, with your school bag under your arm. Like, there was something very special about it that is very hard to explain.
And then you played with Alfred, and you played county championship football with Alfred.
I did, as a matter of fact. This is funny, I meant to mention Michael's speech there tonight at the presentation, I kind of forgot about it. My one of the memories I've had, and it was a memory that wasn't in my mind, but a memory in my physical makeup, in the sense that I played for St. Brendan's in the senior championship match against Desmond's of Castle Island, and the match was played in Ballymacallagate, and I got this unbelievable kick into the ankle, which remained with me for 3 or 4 or 5 or 6, 7 years later, and I never know who did it. I know it wasn't Pat Joe Bailey or Mick Laid who were playing for the opposition. And I remember that particular kick troubled me for years after. And I thought, you know, that it would finish me at one stage, that it was gone really bad. But it kind of disappeared, you know. And but, you know, football and hurling and that, you know. Of course, I mean, we had a Cooleen in our own place in Tubbers there in the corner. It was a place that belonged to my father, and we used to hurdle up there every day, and we had a sports there as well. And one day we actually ran, I remember running 100 laps of the Cooleen field, 100 laps, and fellas counting it and all. And we used to have our own sports and our own, it's like just an unbelievable upbringing. Like, you never go back to it now.
Tom, before we turn to the athletics, who were your Kerry GAA heroes at that time?
Well, you won't remember it. I remember taking the train down to the Cork Athletic Grounds in the early 50s. I think it was 1952. I remember it was a team of Paddy Baum Brosnan. And I think Cork beat Kerry that particular day by... Marcus O'Neill was in goals, and the Baum dived on a foot. And it was an 0-11 to 0-2, as far as I know. And my memory, I'll always remember standing up in the old athletics and so depressed. And, you know, I mean, we had our flags and everything, but there was another great story we see that in the Munster final, the previous year in Killarney, I think, and this friend of mine from Tubbers brought me over on the train and paid my way, but we went into the pub after, and we missed the train on the way back, and we stood around Killarney like 1 or 2 in the morning trying to get a lift home, you know, and my mother out in the streets, out in the roads looking for me, but we eventually made it home.
And then, Tom, your life took a turn that was to bring you to the Tokyo Olympics and become an Olympian and achieve, I suppose you could say, everlasting fame as such. What turn did your life take that brought you to athletics then?
Yeah, well, I suppose, you know, what really turned me, I remember a fellow knocking on my door one time to ask me for a pair of running shorts to go for, to run a race. And I said, what are you doing for the running? So I said, I'm going to have a run race. And I remember he saying to me, you know, that he was going to be a runner, and I said, God, if he can be a runner, I can be a runner. I remember going up to the 3C base and climbing over the wall and running a few laps on my own just to see what it felt like. And it kind of took off from there. 1964, I ran in Ballymacallagate Sports, the first time ever ran the sports, in an 80 yards handicap, and I finished second, and we got a big dish and 6 dessert things, and I still have one of them at home. And it went on from there, you know. I won my first ever medal in the Kerry Mile Championship in Dungarvan. And down from there, in 1956, I got the mumps, and I came back, and I finished third in the South Munster, second in the Munster, and won the All-Ireland Colleges. The following year, I won the Irish Youth, and so they got a scholarship to America. Just almost took off without almost noticing it, and went over to America, and spent 4 years there, and came back, and you know, I found a coach in America, Michael Eagle, who really showed me how to train, how to breach the pain barrier, how I train, which a very, very, very good friend of mine, Bob Shule was his name. Bob Shule went on to win the gold medal in the 5,000 metres in the same event that I ran in Tokyo. I didn't know it at the time. I always knew he was good, but I was nearly as good as man. And funny enough, Weeshie, another good friend of mine who ran with in America in those years was Billy Mills, who won the 10,000 metres. There were the 5 and the 10 by 2 guys who I knew well and trained with and ran with, you know, and still, you know, I suppose, you know, it's just one of those things.
Tom, you left home, and then did you join the North Harriers in Dublin, and did a scholarship come from there? And how does a man get a scholarship?
Well, actually, mine was a complete and utter and absolute fluke, because I fired off 10 letters to universities. I was working on the Kerry County Council. I was just out of school. And I had a good job in the County Council, and since I had about £10 a week, and I was getting, you know, £10 a week was a grand money, like. But I always had this unbelievable thing about getting to a university in America, and that I wrote off, and I suddenly got a letter back from this man in Idaho State College who actually was the, who had actually seen Delaney win in the previous Olympics, and I remember going out with you to America and getting on the plane in Shannon Airport in 1957, and like, I could have been going to the moon. I didn't know where it was going. Sat in the plane, she took off, like, I didn't know where it was going, and I arrived out in this Rocky Mountain area, completely foreign to where I'd ever been before, totally homesick. As a matter of fact, if I had a ticket to come back from America, if I had a return ticket, I would have come back immediately. I was so heartbroken and homesick. And suddenly I met a fella in a hospital. I got a real bad illness, and I met a fella in a hospital. And his name was Don Rouse. His brother actually was Roger Rouse, who fought for the World Light Heavyweight title. And we became great friends. And, you know, I don't know where he is now, but it kind of changed things, like, you know, from that particular time. And I got to like it, and I got to love it, and we got on.
And when you were in America then, Tom, you actually cleaned up. Talk to us about your career there. You won conference titles and
yes.
You won cross-country titles. What did you win when you were in America? And how did it go down with the Americans, this young Kerryman?
Yes, well, I did want to, you know, I suppose I was a little bit ahead of the pack in many ways, in the sense that, first of all, like, I remember I did honours maths here, and I did my leaving, and I was able to get through the subject in school very, very easily, because we seemed to be slightly ahead of them, and since I didn't have to study that unbelievably hard to pass my exam. But anyway, we had to do it anyway, where there was other subjects I failed, like things like sociology and biology, which I never heard of before, and things like that, you know. But, I mean, I won a load of conference titles. I remember I went to the NCAA, which is the highest race in America, of all the best colleges in America. And I finished 10th the first year, and the second year I finished 5th. And 6th place was Billy Mills, the man I was telling you about that won the Olympics. And actually the first 5 home that day were all foreign students from, you know, from countries overseas. And, you know, the great thing, I always knew at the end of the day that there was something that was lacking in me. And I remember graduating in 1962 from Idaho State College, and I remember getting a lift in a private plane to California, and it was 3-seater, and I thought I'd never get. And I went to California and met this coach, Iglai, who was a Hungarian refugee, who was an unbelievable man, the most outstanding coach I ever met. And he taught me how to train, how to embrace the pain barrier, how to push yourself, and how to love it, and how to dedicate yourself. And I never, ever, ever, to this day, like, never forgotten that, Rishi.
And you were picked on the All-American cross-country team when you were in America. Tom, what did that mean? And how big was that for people now we don't know about?
Well, I know. I mean, it's. I suppose people in Ireland kind of, I mean, it was a beautiful award to get the All-American. And again, I think they give it to everybody who finishes in the first 5. That's to be perfectly and truly honest with you. And that's the way they do it. And they give you this lovely certificate, and it makes you feel important, like, you know. And I got the Hall of Fame Award from another. There was 2 associations in America at that time, the NACA and the NAIA, and I got the Hall of Fame Award for the NAIA, and I won the NAIA. I ran the steeplechase once in the AIA Championships in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Never ran a steeplechase before in my life. But I ran so badly in the mile, the coach said, "Look, you get into the steeplechase and say how she do, how you do." And I ran the steeplechase, and I won it. And I was only a couple of seconds outside the Irish record. And I think that I fell into the water jump every time.
And where did study come into this now, Tom?
Well, study, well, of course it came into it, you know, and the very first semester I went to Idaho, the very first, unless you passed a 2.00 out of 4.00, you couldn't run. That was the rules of the NACA. And this particular guy, talking about biology, he was a tennis player. And one day his tennis racket was stolen. And he thought this group of fellas stole his tennis racket. And he failed every one of them in the exam. But he gave me a D, which is the lowest possible mark you can get. Like, just. But I don't know why he gave, because I hung around with the same gang. And he gave me a D, and I got through. And that's how I kind of kept going. But I mean, if it's a certain amount of intelligence and a certain amount of savvy, you know, you get through it and that. And I used to, I think the best course I ever took over there was typing, because I learned touch typing, which stood to me later in life in my journalistic career.
And you're welcome back to Terrace Talk. I'm talking to Tom O'Riordan, the great Irish and Kerry Olympian. What other Irishmen were winning and running and taking part in America? Of course, Ronnie Delaney was the big name in the 50s, and I presume into the 60s. He must have had a huge influence in your career. And what other Irishmen were there?
Oh, wishy. I mean, Ronnie Delaney had an unbelievable influence in my life. I remember getting up in the morning at 7 o'clock when he won the Olympics in 1956. There were others like John Lawler in the hammer, like Brendan O'Reilly in the high jump, who went to Michigan. And, I wrote to Villanova University, Jumbo Elliott, asking him tonight, would he consider me for a scholarship? And he told somebody much later on, a couple of years later, he says, I wrote, he says, fellow Raven, he says, but I forgot to post the letter. And I never asked him. But, of course, Delaney was a huge influence. And, the one of the most wonderful thing about it, like, that the Americans gave you great confidence because you were Irish, because they looked up to you. Instead of I looking up, they were looking up to me, like the Irish, and they used to invite me into the library to give talks about Ireland. I didn't know anything about Ireland. I didn't know much about the income tax, or I didn't know much about the political side. All I knew, like, was, you know, working on the farm and plowing fields and that, you know. And then, I mean, I didn't know much else, like, but sometimes I wonder how I got through the bloody thing at all, like, because it was a massive kind of challenge in many ways, you know.
What ambitions had you, Tom, when you were running in America and when you were doing so well? What were your athletic ambitions when you were there?
I remember one particular time, I remember there was a local paper in Salt Lake City, and there was a clipping of a Russian distance runner cleaning the snow off a track in Moscow to train for the Olympics. And I said, Mike, and I was looked out the window, we had snow, and I remember going down to the track doing exactly the same thing with a brush, sweeping the snow off the track to train, because of a picture I'd seen in the paper. And, you know, I mean, I used to train, I mean, when I went out to this university, like, there was nobody to run with, because they were all Americans. They wouldn't dare go out running into snow, or just wasn't a done thing. And, because I did it, because I had this incredible love for running. You know, it's very hard to explain, like, I just love the feeling of running, and I've, to this very day, to this very moment, and I'm 64 years of age right now, to this very day, there's no greater feeling to me than go over to Belfield and run. Whatever it is, I don't know what it is, but it's there.
Where did finance come into your time in America?
Well, finance, I used to work part-time, I worked in all kinds of jobs, I used to work at the basketball matches. I used to work helping the coach where the shots were taken for. I used to work in a local shop. I did everything for us, because, I mean, my parents were in a farm. They had no money. I mean, my father and all, Martin Merslin, did an unbelievable job to get £350 together to fly me to America, you know, and there was no money around. Like, that was an incredible amount of money even today. And then, like, there was no money. I think he sold a bullock or something, like, to get some of the money. So I never, all the years I was there, was never any money came from home. And, I suppose I had my free meal, so, I mean, you learn to survive. And, I mean, it's such an unbelievable discipline to your mind to this day, like, that you did your own ironing, you did your own washing, you know, everything you did for yourself, you know. And you become unbelievably independent. You had to be independent. Like, there was no way to... You couldn't go down the road to your aunt, your uncle, or whatever, or 5 shilling piece or that, you know. You just had to survive yourself.
What was your biggest achievement, would you say, your fondest memory of America?
Well, my fondest memory of America, without any doubt, was finishing fifth in the NCAA cross country. That was one. The other one was winning that particular steeplechase I was talking about. And the other one was, I remember, in Salt Lake City in Utah. Brigham Young University was a huge university. They had 2 Finnish runners they brought over. And we ran in a mile below in Salt Lake City. And they were really fancied. And I remember to this day beating them. And I improved from 4:18 to 4:12. I had like 6 seconds. And to this day, it was the most unbelievable uplifting in my life, you know. And the other thing at that particular time, I came home from America in 1959 on holidays, and I ran in the 1500 metres Irish Championship in Cork City Sports. The favourite was Joe Cunningham from Dublin. There was a dog who was owned by the, like your own name, Weeshie. Weeshie Murphy was a great Cork player. He brought a little terrier to the race with him. The terrier jumped out of his arms and ran in the race and knocked down the favourite. And 3 weeks later, the Irish Championships were in Dublin. Of course, everybody said, like, Joe Cunningham, like, he's going to get his revenge. But I beat him in Ivy Grounds in Crumlin. And, you know, it's... I mean, you can go on and on, like, about the great feeling and the great thrills of things you do. And, you know, I'm the only man in Ireland, and I'm not trying to blow my tongue, but who have won Irish Championship medals in an ACA, the old AU, and in I3As and BLE. And they all mean a lot to me. They're all in, I have them all in a cardboard box in Dublin under the bed, and they're all there, but I don't have to take them out, because I look at a Kerry Championship medal and look at an Irish Championship medal. They all mean a lot to me. And I have a Froome Cup medal that I won in the great fluke. We beat St. Augustine's and Garvin. Brian Sheehy kicked a goal in, hopped in the square goal. I have a Munster Colleges medal, senior footballer, I got as a sub. So, you know, I mean, yeah, it's very hard to explain the fulfillment, but it's all about, I can die tomorrow, or I can whatever tomorrow, and I will never regret anything I did, or never have any regrets about not making money and not being born 60 years ago, or 60 years now, and get a lot of money, because money never entered. It's all about, I think, fulfillment, and that's to me is everything.
How did your time in America come to an end in time, and when did you come home? What happened that you left America?
Well, that's right. I mean, I left America because, I was never going to really settle down there, I suppose, Weishi, in the sense that I got an invitation to compete in the Sao Paulo Road Race in Brazil. I ran there twice in 1960, 1961. And then I came back to New York in January 1962, and I met up with a whole gang of friends of mine, like Ron Delaney and Noel Carroll and Derek McLean and Basil Clifford and Billy Morton, who were running in a relay. And I was the guy, actually, that put Noel Carroll on the train down to Villanova to do his entrance exam. And he often thanked me for his after. But, you know, I just decided, like, that was it. I wanted to go back to Ireland. I wanted the green fields. I wanted to come back. I wanted to run in Ireland. I wanted to run... I basically wanted to run the world cross country. This is what I wanted to do. It was finished there.
And you came back to Ireland, and you did run in Ireland, because you won, I don't know, was it 12 or 13 years in a row, and you represented Ireland for how many times, and you ran in America in the 3 years. Talk to us about that side of your life, Tom.
Yes, that was it. I think I have a bit of a record. I won 13, I think it's 12, All-Ireland Club Championship gold medals I have won, which I think is a record, I suppose. A lot of people will find it hard to get by, and... I was very fortunate. I came to Dublin, and I settled into Dublin like a duck to water, and I found a couple of fellas that I love to train hard, and I found the fellas that could train as hard as me, like Jim McNamara, and I got to compete in the World Cross Country, and I ran at the 3 year championships in London and White City. I was very unlucky in 1962. I wasn't selected to the European Championships, and Bruce Teller won the 5,000 metres gold medal. Following year, and we had a fantastic race in the White City in the 3 year championships, and he pipped me. I remember I ran 13:27, which is 5 seconds inside the record. And, you know, I mean, that time, you know, that time you could go through a race, you know, Weishi, a hard race, a fast race, and you'd never feel it. I mean, you'd never feel the pain because you had prepared for it. Like, you'd never feel pain. I'd often say, how do you know? You never felt it. You never felt it. You finish a race, you know, within 2 minutes you were as fresh as a daisy because you had so well prepared for it.
And you represented Ireland in between 63 and 74 every year continuously. Who are your teammates, Tom, any names that come to your mind?
Derek Graham was a great athlete. Derek Graham from Belfast, and Jim Hogan, who later won a European Marathon Championship gold medal for Britain because he had a bit of a row over a few bob about some expenses, you know. We had a very... But there was a small... The AU was very small that time, Weishi, but there was an incredible sense of determination to prove, like, that this small little team could do it, you know. And we did do it. We did as good as they're doing now, you know. And I mean, okay, there was no Africans in it at that time. But, you know, 1 year in 1963, I broke the 2 mile Irish record 4 times. I broke the 3,000 metres record twice. I broke the 3 mile record 3 times. I broke Irish records actually, I think, seven or eight times. I won the Texaco Award. And, you know, I went through that year. I think I ran something like 40 races that particular year, which was very, very foolish because it left me a drain for the Olympics the next year. And you know, if I was wise, like, you know, I would have called a halt at a certain stage of the year.
Before we come to the Olympics, Tom, the year you won the Texaco Award, that was for the top athlete in Ireland. The great John Joshi, he got the Hall of Fame that year for GAA. Now, what are your memories of that night?
Weeshie, the memories of that night were fantastic. As I remember, I still have the picture at home. It was a great night. Weeshie, John Joe was there. And there was a whole lot of different people who got their awards. And Lar Foley got the football award, I think. I have a picture taken alongside him now, Lar, with a smile on the side of his face. And, well, you know, I mean, it was the ultimate, like. I want to say to you, like, at this present moment, like, that I took it, like, I mean, it was a fantastic thrill, a fantastic, I don't know, there was unbelievable elation about the whole thing. I felt fantastic about it, to be honest with you. I'm not going to hide any pretenses, like, you know, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, it was probably one of the greatest moments of my life, walking up to receive that award from the late Sean Lemass, the Taoiseach, to, you know, and I still have the award at home, and I look at it, and I say, God, I say, you know, I feel very, very proud to have won it.
And then, of course, 1964 came, I suppose, was the highlight when you became an Olympian and you represented your country in Tokyo. How did you qualify for it, Tom? And how did you do when you went to Tokyo? What was all that time of your life like?
Yes, I remember, actually, I was running a race in the opening of Crystal Palace in London in 1964 in June. I was warming up actually for the race. It was Ireland versus England versus Scotland, Wales 4. I was warming up with Bruce Toller, and suddenly some fellow around me says, "We've been selected for the Olympics last night." And I stopped. And Bruce Toller, in fair dues to him, like he was in trouble. And I remember being selected, and coming. I think actually I finished fourth that day. It took my mind off the race completely. But well, I mean, I'll always remember one thing about the Olympics, Wish, and I'll never, ever, ever forget one thing. It wasn't the getting the blazer, it wasn't arriving in Tokyo. It was taking the lead. No, I'll tell you what it was. It was running in the race in the 5,000 metres, and running in the back of the field with Albie Thomas from Australia, who had set a world 3-mile record in Dublin 2 years previously, and running, and actually talking to Albie Thomas in the heats of the 5,000 metres in the Olympics, talking to him, saying, like, how are you feeling? And he said, how are you feeling? I said, I'm feeling great. This is true. I've never said this to anybody. And I remember then after about 4 to 5 laps, I remember going up to the field, like, you know, imagine going up to the Olympic field and feeling great, taking the lead. And I held the lead for about 5 laps. And I remember the other thing I remember was being clipped from the heels behind by a couple of times. And I was a bit annoyed, but they were running atop you. And I was running. And then suddenly with 2 laps to go, like, I met the field coming around me and this feeling of, you know, of struggling and... But I finished anyway. I think I know I set an Irish record that particular, but I was devastated, like, not getting to the final, because I was so confident to get into the final, Wishy. I remember walking out of that stadium that day, like, but the other thing, when I took the lead, I remember the crowd and looking up at the stands leading this Olympic field, and I suppose, to be perfectly and truly honest with you, like, it was a little bit, I was a little bit awed by it. I was a little bit taken aback by it, you know. This packed stands, I mean, every day it was packed. But, I mean, I suppose, Weishi, you know, at the end of the day, like, being eliminated, not making the final, and a friend of mine winning the final, it was not a great moment for me. Bob Shewell from America, who I trained with, won the final. And it wasn't a great, and Ron Clark, my friend, was in the race as well. And, you know, it was not a good feeling, because I was sure I'd make the final.
Welcome back to Terrace Talk. I'm talking to Tom O'Riordan, the great Irish and Kerry Olympian. Who were your teammates on the Olympic team?
Well, Jim Hogan ran in the marathon, and he ran the 10,000, ran the marathon. Basil Clifford ran the 1,500 metres. Derek McLean ran the 800 metres. Maeve Coyle was there. We won a bronze medal, of course, in the boxing. And, you know, it was a good team, but it wasn't a huge team, you know. And I mean, the thing about it is like this. it's just extraordinary how things happen. And I remember going down to the track the day before the 10,000 metres with Billy Mills, and he telling me, like, how great he was feeling, and he won it in the sprint, you know. I mean, I did not do my best out there. I know I didn't do my best.
When you were running there and leading that Olympic field, Tom, did that effort go through your mind at any time? What were you thinking of? Were you thinking of home? Were you thinking, you told a lovely story tonight about running on a ditch?
Yes, that's right. I ran on the ditch, that's right, because we were kicked out of Aston Sachs Park and Sully because we were making too big a mark on the field. And And we had no place to go. There was no. We used to run the dock track, and the dock track would, they weren't very cooperative either. So there was no place. I couldn't find any place really to run. Like, and we were walking back to Glenlivet. We found this long, long, long ditch, flat as a pancake, along, only a room for one, and we measured it out, and we got 400 meters. And my friend Liam Hennessy and myself, we had to run Indian file, but we did it nearly every day, in 200s and 400s, and that we used to jog back. And of course, it was very easy on the feet because it was lovely, kind of a cushiony thing. But I suppose it was weird, like, to be honest, with you running in the top of a ditch, like, you know, to do preparing for.
Have gone through your mind for the Olympics?
No, well, in fairness, like, I'd been back to Dublin, so I mean, I did all my running, and I mean, people complain now about cinder tracks and tartan tracks and all that, but you know, I did all my training on a grass track, and I still think. As a matter of fact, I did some of my toughest training in below on the green in Tralee, and measured off my own 400 meter track in Tralee. And I used to come down on weekends, and I did all that of my work there. And just actually, you know, just unbelievable, because there was ups and downs and a little bit of hill in it. And I mean, the more difficult it is to do, the more easy it is at the end of the day, as many Kenyans will tell you.
Do you think you were capable of winning an Olympic medal?
I think I was capable of breaking a world record. I'll tell you that much now. I know I was capable of breaking the world 3-mile record, because when I ran 13:18.4 in 1964, the world record was 13:12. That particular day in Century Stadium, I don't think how fast the pace was, I would have stayed with it, no matter how fast. I was definitely capable, I think, of breaking the 2-mile world record as well. When I ran 8:40, the world record was 8:34. So, you know, I was capable of it. It was a difficulty getting good opposition at your peak, you know, and there was a lot of pacemaking went on. And I mean, I remember in College Park, I remember telling the fellow, I'll give you a fiver to make the pace, a fiver, in 1963, which is half the money I was earning in a week, and he didn't want to know, like, and they had a lot of difficulties like that. I mean, it's different now, like, when you see fellas breaking world records, it's all kind of set up and that, you know, but it was a kind of a different era, like, in terms of you know, sometimes you didn't know, and sometimes if I knew 10 years later, like, I was a very hard trainer, Weishi, I would run hard every day, you know. If I could run easy and get my body to recover, I would have been much better, probably.
Yeah. After the Olympics then, Tom, things began to wind down, I presume. And how did your career peter out then, and what happened? How did things come to an end, and yes, when did you run your last race? Well, bring us up to that.
I will. I'll bring you up to date. But it's in 1964, I got a very bad back injury, and I was out during all 1965. I worked in the building sites in London. I worked building the New Scotland Yard in London with one of Kerry's greatest footballers, Tiggy Lyne.
Yeah.
Yeah, Bill, we worked on that, and worked there for three or four months. And Tiggy Lyne was a fantastic worker. I remember one day we unloaded, the two of us, a full lorry load of hot cement. And, you know, and I remember, like, you can discover a new stint. And I remember it was the year that Kip Keino ran in the Emsley Car Mile in London that particular summer. And I remember going down to see him run, and he ran 3:54 point something, I remember. But the following year, I qualified, 1966, then I qualified for the European Championships in Budapest. And would you believe it, I got this massive blister in my heel, which eliminated me. And I came back after that, and I won the National Cross Country Championships twice. And but, like, that was the end of my I peaked, you know. I mean, the speed was gone. The other thing is, like, that the other little story, a twist of the story I'll tell you is, that in 1964, that very day I was told I was running in the Olympics, I was invited to run the Emsley Car Mile in White City. And because I was selected for the Olympics, I said, ah, sure, I'll give it a miss. And I said, Basil Siffel, will you go in my place? And he went in my place, and he ran 3:59.4. And I always kind of regret I never broke 4 minutes. I was capable of breaking 4 minutes. I'm not trying to boast. I mean,
what was your best time for the mile?
My best time for the mile was 4:02.8. Yeah. But I know I was capable of it. But, you know, opportunities knock, and you take it or you don't. And you can be lucky, you can be unlucky. I don't feel anything bad or whatever about it. It's just, you have to take these things philosophically.
And, of course, Tom, when you gave up running, then your career and your life took a complete new turn, because you remained involved in athletics, you're involved in Gaelic football sports because you became one of Ireland's and the Independent's top sports writers, and your writing career. How did you get into the journalism, and that carried you all over the world to everything?
It did, Weishi, yes. And it started very ironically in many ways, in the sense that there was a man in the evening press at the end of 1963, I had such a good year, that was the year I got the Texas Award. He asked me to write my memoirs, and it was run in the evening press five nights in a row, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Pictures and big slamming and kind of, I suppose, you know, that was the kind of the start of it. A year later, like, I was doing little bits and pieces for different people. And suddenly one day I walked into the Evening Herald and I said I'd write some articles on the 64 Olympics, and they took me in and I started from there. And I remember joining in 1964, July 1964, in the Independent newspapers. I didn't know what I was staffed or what I was contracted. Just went in and sat down at the desk and started working.
And how many Olympics and Europeans and Worlds, roughly, Tom, have you covered now?
Well, I've reported on six Olympic Games, I suppose, six or seven World Championships. The first World Championships in 83 when Cockton won, and every European Championship since 1974 in Rome. And I ran in nine World Cross Country Championships. I think I've been to about, in the last 25 years, in the last 63 to now is 30 odd years, 37 years, I suppose I've been to at least 30. I've missed very few. I've been to innumerable. I think I've seen every major race that all the Batleys, Coughlin and Tracy and Sonia Sullivan and Katrina McKeon, they've ever run. And I mean, unbelievably privileged, really, Weishi, when you think of it. You know, I mean, I have probably, to myself, you know, if I was to sit down, like, there's no way that anybody else could have had as rewarding, as happy, as fulfilling career my whole life. My athletics, my journalistic, my family, my wife, and everything about me. I'm a very happy person and privileged person.
And you're welcome back to Terrace Talk. I'm talking to Tom O'Riordan, the great Irish and Kerry Olympian. Who was the best athlete, Tom, you've seen in your reporting, and what was the most memorable moment in athletics for your reporting?
massive question. Difficult question in terms of, you know, who was the greatest. I suppose I have to come down, I think, in Carl Lewis's. I think he was the most, natural talent. He was the man with the most charisma. He was the man who had everything. Like, he had an incredible sense of occasion. He could do it when the chips were down. Like, I'll always remember, like, Los Angeles in 84 and how he won those gold medals. And, you know, he had an incredible, well, he was a very big man. And I didn't see Lassie Varenne in person. I could say Halley Gabriel Selassie was very good, but I thought Carl Lewis had so much, there was not a flaw in his whole makeup. And, like, he had a great personality as well. Not just that, but he was a fantastic man under pressure. And he was beaten 1988, of course, by Ben Johnson. But, like, look at the times he ran and the long jumps he did and the consistency of the man. I think he was the greatest. As far as the greatest occasion was concerned, and this will surprise you, I think the greatest occasion I've ever had in athletics, and this is contrary to what I've said earlier, was when Ben Johnson came down the track in 88. Around 9.79, wasn't it? I remember I was dumbfounded. I thought it was the most incredible thing I've ever seen in my life, that human. I know he was drugged, but on that particular 9.7 seconds was the greatest moment I ever saw.
You mentioned drugs, Tom. Will we ever see them completely eliminated from athletics? And would I be right or wrong in saying they have done some tremendous damage to the image of the sport?
They've done incredible damage to the sports, absolutely, Weishi. And it's been sad. It's been very sad. And the other... Well, you know, I mean, the IAAF, in many ways, have a lot to answer for. They've made a lot of efforts, but some of it has been wishy-washy. I think some of it has been lacking in conviction. I think they've tolerated a lot. I think they have been kind of, you know, allowed a lot to go. They haven't been hard enough on them. They have you know, given 4 year suspensions and reduced them to two. But having said all that, I think the IOC, the National Olympic Committee, have made a massive effort. I don't know. Maybe I'm still a bit naive, but I think they begin to come to the end of it. I think the testing is now so severe that if you look at the, for example, the throwing events, the hammer, the shot, the discus, all the records that were set way back in the 60s are no longer being done. I think that's a good sign. That's an excellent sign in the sense that those guys, like the East Germans and the Russians, like that, they're no longer, you know, stuffing themselves full of whatever. And that's a good sign. And I think, you know, that eventually, I think it is beginning to get better, you know.
And Tom, of course, you cover Gaelic hurling and football on a regular basis, and of course you must take great satisfaction out of covering the Kerry Games and the Kerry GAA. That's something special for you too, of course.
Listen, Wishy, I'm a deplorably bad Kerry supporter. Like, I'm just like the fella on the state that paid his £5 in, like, because, you know, I can go back a long ways. I can go back, like, to see my first All-Ireland in the early 60s, and go back to the first Munster final in the 50s, and I have my best friends amongst the Kerry team, like the 17 or 75, I think, all up along that particular team. I was great friends with all of them, and I love the Kerry team. I love what they stand for. I'm unbelievably proud to be Kerry, unbelievably proud to be, you know, to say that Paddy O'Shea is one of my best friends, and all that Kerry team, of the great Kerry team, we'll call them. And, you know, you I don't know what it is, I suppose. You try to be objective, and sometimes it's hard to be objective, isn't it? You know, it is awesome, like, you know, and like, you kick every ball, and you walk away from, like, Meath last year when they were beaten, like, and walk down, like, and into the dressing room, like, you don't speak, like, you're in there as a newspaper man, and you say, what can you ask Dar O'Shea, what does he feel? Ask, you know, any of them what they feel, because what can you ask them, you know? I mean, you just go out and make it up, like, because it doesn't matter, does it?
Of course, Tom, to be remiss of us if we didn't talk about your wife and your family. Where did you meet your wife? Where is she from? And how many in your family, and where are they all now?
Well, we were actually, there was a thing last week that we were invited up to Áras an Uachtaráin, this thing that they're running now, like, they're bringing up a whole lot of sports people to kind of mingle, former sports people of all walks of life. And my wife is Barbara Charlton. And her uncle is Corolla Dolly, and his picture is up there, and his bust, the bronze is up there, and she's from Churchtown, and I met her in St. Vincent's Hospital dance one night when John Delaney, who was best man at my wedding, we walked up there after the grounds tournament final one of the years. I think Kerry didn't score in the second half, and we walked up to Stephen's Green, and we stopped off at the Shelbourne Hotel, and we asked for two bottles of stout, and the man asked me, what room were you in? And we said we're in room 35, and he said, sorry, he said, there's no such room in the hotel. And we went down there to Vincent's, and that's where I met her in 1963. And, you know, I have four children, and Ian is one of them. He works for the Irish Times. Actually, he was one of the, I suppose, he was one of the few sons of previous university scholarship athletes who also got a scholarship to America, who went to an Ivy League university in Brown University. So three boys and one gal, and my only gal got married there a couple of weeks ago, and we thought she'd never get married, but I've been, as I say, getting back to what I said, like, I've been incredibly lucky in life, and long may it continue. And you know, I love to be able to talk to you here and, you know, reminisce in some ways. And I often thought about writing a book, but, you know, why write a book? I mean, I'm happy, and I don't want to put it down in print in the sense that, you know, it's what it is, it is.
Tom, as we finish up, it's very, very evident that your Kerryism is glowing out from you, and you're very proud to be Kerry, to be born in Ardfert, and to have reached the heights of your sport.
Yes, Ardfert, small farm, Ardfert, going down, playing when I was under 14 and under 16, local competitions, and playing with Ardfert minor footballers, playing with Ardfert minor hurdlers, playing with Ardfert senior hurdlers and senior footballers. And I suppose walking away from that environment, you know, going to America on a scholarship, I often thought about it, like, and great friends down there. I've unbelievable. Every time I go down there, like, you know, it's the heart pumps, like, because it's everything, isn't it? It's something you'll never lose. And the farming community and the Tubber Cross and throwing the beat up to the station long ago and all that. It's all part of a great life. And you'll never kind of, I suppose, what's the word? You'll never kind of you'll never lose it. And you never kind of. The friends that were there and the people who grew up with and go to the thrashing machines long ago and, you know, and the ploughing matches. You know, I competed in the ploughing match in Abidoni one time when I was only 10 years of age. And they wouldn't let me compete because I was too young. But I remember putting the plough and the horse and carrying, going over in the car to Abidoni ploughing match because my friends, all the neighbours were going. And I used to go around to all the thrashing machines when I was only 10, 11 and 12, like, to work and labour, so as the labour will come back when you got the thrashing machine, you know, the vice versa thing, you know. And but that's, you know, it's a privilege from that point of view. That those memories will never leave.
Tom Reardon, Kerry Olympian and Kerry legend, it's been a pleasure talking to you. Thanks for joining me on Terrace Talk.
You're very, very welcome, Wishy, and I'm delighted to be your guest.